Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for AC. And I'm not talking about the college. For all of us that roasted last year, it's good to be back in a place where there's air conditioning and the temperatures now are back into a reasonable zone. I mean, I was Salt's wife on Tuesday and Thursday. I was down in turning into a pillar of salt down in Portland, and it got up to, I think, 110 on one day. There were records, 106 and 110, I think, and it was hot. So it's good to be back in the coolness. God has blessed us with cool weather and nice weather. I'm going to challenge you all today on a paradigm that you may have. It's a paradigm that I have or have had and had it challenged and had to change in my life. I want to go back to Bob Dick's sermon that he gave to us a couple months ago in regards to what do we do as disciples in this day and age and where we are in the church and what we've learned from that. And he said some very important things that I had never thought of. Maybe you hadn't either, but I thought they were very important. He said a lot of things, one of which he said, as a congregation or as a group of people, we are no longer big enough to do the work the way we did it back in our former association. We're no longer as big, and we no longer have the money to be able to do that. He said, secondly, he said that we no longer own the hook or the private property, as he said, in regards to the prophecies that we were able to teach prior. A lot of people understand who and what America is. And furthermore, I might add to that, a lot of people understand and keep the holy days outside of our association. They don't teach it necessarily the way we do, but there are a lot of people that are actually striving to keep the holy days to the best of their ability, literally, in our country. More and more people are migrating towards the holy days. And the third thing he said that I think is extremely important is you have got to love what you believe. You've got to love. You can't just endure what you believe, but you have to love what you believe. And we do. We love what we believe. That's why we're here. What I want to talk, and so we're in this position. You know, we love what we believe. We were challenged in regards to how do you advertise it in the sense Mr. Armstrong did. And we don't have the money to do that. Well, to do the work of God the way we used to do it, that puts us in a pickle. What do we do from here? Now, John Murphy doesn't have all the answers. But my paradigm has changed in regards to this. So I want to talk to you today about personally taking the risk and sharing what you know. Personally taking the risk and sharing what you know. Because I think it's important. We clearly cannot produce magazines and television the level we used to. So what do we do? I'll give you an example in my family. Something happened a year ago. I was at a wedding, and all eight of us children were out there. I come from a big family. All eight of us kids were there. And my brother Tom began to do things that I did. He kept the feast one year with me as a guest. He kept the night to be much remembered a couple times in my house and enjoyed it very much. And he's starting to look into some of these teachings. And over the last couple years, he's gone away from that. And it came up during this wedding. Tom said, you know, I no longer believe what you believe in regards to obedience and some of the things. And almost in unison, the rest of my siblings turned around and looked at me and said, well, what do you believe? What do you believe? Now, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I know these people well, my family. Yet they didn't know what I believed, and I was ashamed of that. I think there's a balanced approach to share what we believe with those that we love. And that's the key point of this sermonette today. You know, I hid behind three basic scriptures and concepts, I think, that were not healthy for me in my approach to how I share what I believe. Number one was, don't cast your pearl before swine. And we know that. That's a good scripture. We want to live by that scripture, right? We definitely want to live by that. But we have to qualify who swine is. And I'd like to use my wife as an example. She's not swine. She's a lovely woman. But I met Jill, obviously outside our faith. I didn't bring up God to her in the first four or five times that I met her. She had no idea, you know, that I even had a faith or a religion or practice of religion. I hid it from her. And here she is. We have to qualify who swine are. Clearly, my family, they're believers in one way or another of Jesus Christ. We all have a circle of influence. We have it here. We have it outside our families and friends, and people that know us, that we set an example to, that we can reach and share with. It. People that are qualified, in my opinion, as swine here are people that, and you know these people, their minds are extremely closed to God. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. They want nothing to do with organized religion. They want nothing to do in regards to God or or any kind of code of conduct at all. They may have even had a bad experience along that line. So those are people that I think that we can consider, you know, you have to be careful who you share, what you share with. But there's that whole circle of influence of people that you love and care for, that you can share those things that you love, like Mr. Dick was talking about. Also hid behind a scripture and an idea that, hey, I'm not an apostle, I don't have to do the work of God, in the sense of, I'm not going out to preach to Israel. And I'm going to cover that in a little bit. I also stood behind something, look, you can't convert anybody. You can't, and we know that. You cannot convert anybody. There's a long line, in my opinion, between you can't convert anybody, but you can share the good things that you practice and love and know. That all being said, would you please turn with me to Matthew 25 and verse 14? Matthew 25, verse 14, if we can take another look or a second look and read this in a way of what I'm talking about here. Matthew 25 and verse 14. And I'll get there too. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called to his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now these are things, these talents that we're going to talk about belong to whom? They're not our own talents and gifts and abilities. They are the talents, those weightier matters, those things that are important to God. And he gives them to his servants to use. He gave to, and one he gave five talents, and to another two, and to another one, and to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them, used them, shared them, traded with them, and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. And you know where we're headed, right? But he who had received one went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled his accounts. So he who had received his five talents came and brought the other five talents. He came to his master. He said, hey, look, he's proud of what he had done. You know, the Lord didn't come to him, although you can imagine him coming into the room and that kind of ominous feeling that you have. No, he came to him. He said, look what I've done. He said, you delivered me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He came and received two talents. He also came and received two talents and came and he said, look, you delivered to me two talents, and look, I've gained two more talents besides them. And the Lord said, well, good, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of the Lord. Now here we are. Here we are. Then he came to him and the one who had the one talent. And you can imagine, you know, when you're, let's say you're in trouble. Or you know, you had, as a child, we probably all experienced this. And your dad enters the room and you hear that voice. And you know the look on his face and the look on your face is this is not going to be a good experience. You can imagine this is probably, you know, in this scenario, the unfaithful servant, you can hear the voice and you can almost see in the master's face, you didn't really do this, did you? You didn't really hide this, did you? Are you that guy? Did you do that? That's a question I have to ask myself in balance, and that's how the question I think that the Bible's asking us to look at this and ask all ourselves individually. So let's read it. And he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. And that's an important scripture. If the Lord hasn't sown, whose responsibility, who was supposed to be sowing? It's an important scripture, or an important way to look at that, I think. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do with this. And went and hid your talent. Look, here it is. Here it is. And then so it goes on to say, you wicked and unfaithful servant. I don't want to really necessarily dwell on that. But I think if we're not too careful, we can hide those things we love from the people we love. There is a balance. There is a line that we can cross in regards to that. We don't want to hide those things. You don't have to turn there, but in the commission to the apostles in Matthew 10, I just circled four scriptures that I'm going to read to you. In verse 7, he said, go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Verse 20, for it is not for you to speak, but the Spirit of the Father will speak for you. And in verse 27, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach in the housetops. Again, there's a balance to that, and that is the commission for those apostles. But those are good words to examine as we begin to think about how we might expand our influence in our community. What's the number one thing that we have to share with people? What's the number one thing that we have to share? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the number one thing that we can share with people, both in conduct and speech. And I know it's being done in other places, but we have a different view of Jesus Christ, and we have a view of what he did in our personal lives that we can share. The book of John explains that the work of God is to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Step number one, that is the work of God. That is the personal work that each one of us has been called to. In Luke 19, verse 40, the Pharisees were challenging Jesus Christ and saying, you know, your disciples need to calm down and quiet up about who you are. What did Messiah say? He said, the stones will cry out if they don't acknowledge who I am. There's an example of Peter in Acts. He stands in front of the 3,000 and he preaches Jesus Christ. I believe very strongly in Romans 8, where the carnal mind is enmity against God in his way. But you know, the carnal mind is not enmity against God's love. And when done in the proper and right way, we can get to people's hearts. We're not in charge of converting them, but we can share the things we love with them. I'll give you a good example. Go all the way back where I think I started as far as building this paradigm. In 1988, I went to the feast in England, and I was with some people there. And they said, you know, it's probably a good idea that you put your Bible in a plastic bag, kind of hide it. Because if you get confronted by anybody, you don't really want to have to deal with that. You don't want to have to come up with any answers. You could offend somebody by carrying a Bible around and tell them that you're at the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, I've changed my approach since then. And I think the church has in general. But isn't that hiding God's talents? I mean, here they are. They're all written here. All the good ways that we live by are written here. We put them in a plastic bag and we hide them. No, of course we don't. That's where it started for me. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, it says this. It says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember them no more. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor in the kingdom. Well, we're not in the kingdom yet, so we have an opportunity in the right and proper balanced way to share Jesus Christ. We are not only mature enough now, I think, as a people, we are to defend what we believe. We can share in a non-offensive way the things which we believe. You know, Mr. Dick, when he gave his sermon, it was really enlightening. We don't have the money and the ability to be able to preach the gospel. We're in a bit of a pickle, and how do we do that? How do we influence the world to the best of our ability? Well, it's a work of one. It's a work of one. Jesus Christ in us, and then our closest circle, our family, the people here, and those that we love, my family, and the people that I know. Now, I do want to say here, and it is important, There are places and there are times that you don't talk about what you do. Work is one of them. You have to be careful how you pick and choose who you talk to and when. But it is something when people, I have one acquaintance who continually asks me if I'm Jewish. Are you Jewish? And I'll kind of half explain it, but I'd never really crystallize it and explain exactly what I believe. You know, at home, we all have these gifts. You know, we all have these things that we're really proud of. A little while ago, I bought these, they're these fish that I put up on the wall. I can't think of what I'm looking for, the word that I'm looking for. And there they are, right, because I like them. I think they're pretty. I want them right there where you walk in, right? Women wear jewelry. I mean, these things that are valuable to us, we show, right? We show and we share. My son, I love him. You know, I want everybody to know who he is. God the Father is the same way. We don't hide those things in our life. Why would we hide the things that we love and believe? Who knows what a 30-second commercial is? Who knows what a 30-second commercial is? It's a term that gets used in sales. A 30-second commercial, you've got to hone what you believe in 30 seconds or a minute to be able to say what you believe in a very concise way, a 30-second commercial. In other words, if somebody was to walk up to me, I'm a salesman, and the products I sell, I should be able to get it across in 30 seconds. Did I say 30 minutes? 30 seconds. That is a great exercise to be able to do, to really sit down and pen out what your personal beliefs are. We have our statements books in back, but have you ever written out a 30-second or a 1-minute commercial on what you believe? I took the time today to actually do what I'm actually challenging us as a people to do, as a congregation to do, and I wrote, I think, 40 or 42 people an email. The people I care about, the people I know that in one way or another believe in God, but don't know what I believe, do not know what I believe. And that is a really good exercise. I came up with 9 things, and I was going to mail it as an example. I was going to mail it, maybe Brian could have helped me on that, on how to mail it from my BlackBerry. I had it held in my drafts, but couldn't. I was going to do it from here. Well, when I get home, I'm going to mail that off. He told me that I am going to do that. You and I have been called to a marvelous work and given great responsibility. We've also been called to a situation where, not now, we're in a catch-22. We have numbers to be able to produce a work that would produce numbers. We don't have numbers to be able to produce a work that produces numbers. So, as it has always been, but in a little different way, our paradigm may be challenged. You and I love these things that we do. We love them, we keep them, we want to share them. How do we do that? Start with the circle of influence that you have. You know, he said, Mr. Dick said something I thought was really important. He said, there are so many voices that are talking to people nowadays, you can hardly get through to anyone. You know, there's all kinds of electronic voices that are going on. Well, in the same sense, we have those same tools. You know, I mentioned the email, or Facebook, or I think the other one's Twitter. I don't do that. Is that what it's called? Twitter? Okay. Younger group would probably know that. So these are some of the tools that we can do, that we can use to be able to share what we believe in a balanced way. If you simply list the statement of beliefs that you have, none of those are offensive. They really aren't. They're just simply things that we do that make our life a blessing. So I encourage you to do that. The work of God begins with one.